Welcome back to One Day Closer with Mark and Dave, where we are rekindling a spirit of hope and truth in the discussion. Today, Dave is out of state, so it's just me. I hope you won't change the channel, because we are going to talk about betraying our own conscience today. Ooh, what is that going to be about? Well, I'm going to start off with a clip from a young lady who learned an important lesson when she was in high school. So first, let's start off with that.
When I was 16, I went into what I thought was going to be a normal day at biology class. And when I walked in, all the desks were arranged in a circle in the middle of the room. And the instructor, who had always been a really amazing, loving, kind instructor, was super militant, super scary, and just looked at us and said, "Sit down, shut up. You are not allowed to move, to speak at all, and anyone who does will immediately fail my class." And we were all stunned. I get like, just thinking about it, because I was a straight A student and grades were really important to me, and I was just like terrified. So we're all sitting there silently, nervous out of our minds. And in the middle of this circle that we were all sitting in, there was one desk. And on this desk was a bowl with a goldfish in it. And he looked at us and he took the goldfish and he put it on the desk and he walked out and he shut the door. And we all just looked at each other, just like, what do we do? You know, like, obviously it violated like everything inside of me to like watch this fish die. And also, I heard the instruction: if you speak, if you get up, if you move, you will automatically fail the class. And so we all sat there looking to each other to do something, because we didn't want it to be us. And what was a very painful, it felt like an eternity, it was probably like 2.5 minutes later, Hannah B, got up and took the goldfish and put it back in the bowl. And when she did that, he came out and he looked at all of us and he said, "Look what the world has done to you. You've betrayed yourself. For what?" And I think about that lesson all the time, because I learned in that moment that I am never going to be that person ever again. That when I see something that is wrong, even if it's just me, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to do what's right. And I've done that over and over again in my life in very scary situations. But I'm sad for people who haven't learned that lesson, because there are so many things that are wrong that if you're too scared to make a difference, you won't make right.
That's a profound little lesson that young lady learned. If you were in that classroom today, what do you think you would do? Or if you were in that classroom at 16 years old like she was, what do you think your reaction would be? I want to talk about three, maybe four things here that did not happen in that situation. The first thing that they didn't do was think. Does the teacher's mandate about flunking the class make sense? Would the principal or the school district allow such a random decision based on the plight of a goldfish? She said the teacher was always loving and kind. Did those kind of commands, these mandates that he said, did they make sense for the character of the man they knew? No. They should have realized something was wrong. Maybe his boss was leaning on him about something, or this was some kind of a test, but they just knew that wasn't like him. Were they thinking like that, or were they just thinking about themselves and their grade or saving the fish? So the first lesson in that is to think about a situation. If you're given some kind of moral dilemma or a command or a mandate from your work or the government or your school, don't comply blindly. Think about it first. You still might comply, but don't comply without thinking about it. All right? Number two, She said the students betrayed themselves for what? They betrayed their own conscience or their sense of right and wrong for what? A grade? The likelihood of being scolded by the teacher? Or did they betray themselves just to appease authority? Some probably did. This is what happens when our lives are so easy that we seldom, if ever, have to make hard decisions. In the entire life of most Western teenagers, they have been trained and taught to follow instruction and to regurgitate knowledge in order to pass a test. Students are seldom taught to actually think for themselves, to weigh the costs and benefits, to calculate the return on investment, to consider the morality of a situation. They've been taught that truth is relative and disobedience is forbidden, and that consequences for disobeying authority, they shouldn't even be considered. That's what most young people are taught today in the public education system. What are we willing to betray our own conscience for? Now, this was just a goldfish, but maybe it could be a moral situation where the consequences were more dire. And, you know, where's that line? It's something to worth thinking about. Well, number three, why was there no communication between the students? Yes, the teacher said to sit down and shut up, but then he left the room. Is he going to know if they speak softly? And what would they say? Here's what I think they should have said. Hey, who here has the lowest grade? Right? Or who here doesn't care if they flunk the class? Maybe those people should go save the fish. Put the fish back in the bowl. Or this is what they could have. They could have a conversation like this. Hey, what if we all band together? Would he really flunk us all? I don't think he would, right? Nah, let's save the fish, right? Or how about this? Say, gosh, something's wrong with him. They should have been talking about this among each other. This isn't like him. Does anybody know what's going on? Has he done this kind of thing before? Is there maybe somebody who's retaken the class who's seen this kind of thing before? Or maybe their siblings took that class and he did this kind of thing? You see, there should have been some communication going on there, but there wasn't. So those things should have been taking place regardless of what he said. They should have been thinking and they should have been communicating. But number four, this is the one thing we know, and this is the first lesson and the obvious lesson. The thing we know for sure is that when it came down to a tough situation, when the rubber really met the highway at 100 miles an hour, there were no leaders, except for maybe the girl who eventually put the goldfish back in the bowl. A leader might come out of her because she at least stood up. So that's the little lesson that I wanted to start with. But I wanted to point out that this example and this little lesson was with a class of 16-year-old teenagers. What kind of result would there be if it was a room of college seniors? Might be worse, right? They might have been indoctrinated even worse. Or maybe it wouldn't be much different. We're not sure. What if the room was full of country farm kids? Would their result be different? Death is more common on farms, so maybe they would have just laughed at a dying fish. Or what if the room was full of liberals or conservatives? How would their worldview and their value system cause them to react differently? Would they save the fish right away? Would they wait? Would they not care? Or what if it was the kids' parents, who were in the room, and they were threatened that their child would flunk the class? That's even a little bit different, isn't it? If they moved or spoke, their child would flunk the class? I bet the fish would have died. I think so. And you know why? Because they didn't even have the benefit of knowing the teacher like the students did. That makes a big difference. And now catch this. This is a parable, in a sense, of what we just went through. This high school moral test is a lot like the test that America and the whole world went through just 3 years ago with the C crud. Y'all know what I mean. How many of us just bowed to the authorities without thinking? What do you mean, Mark? It was a scary thing. None of us knew what was going to happen. We saw those pictures of the city streets in China without a soul. They were just barren. They were desolate. And it was a scary thing, those first images that came out when the sea crud was let loose. Well, there is some truth to that. But when they told us that they were going to make a shot for this virus, when they said, just sit tight and, you know, wait 6 months, did any of us think or remember that scientists have been trying to make a shot for the common cold, which is also a virus? For 100 years, they've been trying to do this without success. And now all of a sudden they tell us they're going to have one in 6 months. Did that raise an ounce of doubt in the narrative? It did for me. I remember thinking that. The smart people questioned the science because we remember when real doctors were telling us on TV that smoking isn't bad for you. Cigarettes are just fine. Don't worry. Hey, Marlboros taste better, so go ahead. And we remember how those scientists were proven wrong. We all know now that smoking is bad for you. We also remember the story in the 2016 Newsweek magazine, not that long ago, that told us the truth about the causes of death in America. If you remember seeing that, the first cause of death was heart disease. That would be expected. The second cause of death was cancer. That would also be expected. But then a new cause of death popped up in this survey, which actually was telling the truth. The third cause of death in America was medical malpractice. That's right. It was mistakes by doctors, mistakes by healthcare workers, things like misdiagnosing what was going on. They were prescribing incorrect drugs, patients getting double dosed, maybe because someone didn't put the first treatment on the medical chart and somebody gave them another dose. Some of us have had personal experiences with medical malpractice. I know I have. There have been people in my family who have died because of wrong decisions by medical professionals. See, some of us treat doctors like they're gods. Others realize that doctors are just humans too. And some of us believe that some doctors, by no means all, but some doctors have greedy or nefarious intentions. Did you know, in fact, we have a friend who was talking to us about this just the other day. Did you know that in hospital circles, the staff really get to know that which doctors are good and which ones are the killer doctors? And they talk like that. They use that language. Oh, he's a killer doctor. You know, if you look at the numbers and the data, way more patients have died under that doctor's care. Some doctors, believe it or not, really just hate their jobs, and so they don't care. Some doctors graduated last in their class instead of first. This kind of knowledge, the fact that medical malpractice has been a problem, and the fact that recent history has proven that doctors can be bought and paid for, like in the cigarette situation, when the cigarettes were fine. This kind of knowledge tumbling around in our brains, they played a big part in whether we questioned the medical profession or not when the crud narrative was unfolding. We were comparing what they were saying about the crud versus what we already knew about the medical industry and doctors, etc. So unlike the kids in the classroom with the dying goldfish, the smart people were thinking and communicating. See, that's what we were doing, and that's what we all should do. They were not going to betray their moral compass. They understood that the biggest cause of death in history is not war, it's not disease, it's not nature's fury like earthquakes and tsunamis. The biggest cause of death in history is tyrannical governments killing their own people, usually by starvation. This happened in Russia, this happened in Cambodia, this happened in Uganda. Countries all over the world, hundreds of millions of people have been killed by their own governments. So the smart people, knowing all this, we started to look for answers right away. And we soon found reputable doctors saying the exact opposite of what the state narrative was saying. Early on, the data was showing that the sea crud was not near as deadly as they were saying it was. They learned that government agencies like WHO and NIH had recently changed the definition of what a shot was. Oh, really? They changed the definition? Yes, they did. And it went on. More truth was revealed about the origins of the virus. China. Wuhan lab. More truth was revealed about the shots. Sudden adult death syndrome. Yeah. So I think we get the picture with all that. So that's the past. Now it's the present. And we are now in a place where the young lady was after her class lesson. She swore she would never be that person again, the one who would compromise her values and her morality and her integrity. She would never be that person again. So the question is, are we the same way after experiencing the sea crud and all the narrative and all the lies that they were telling us? Are we not going to be that same person we were during that time? There is still a lot of delusion that is yet to be unleashed in 2024. The wars in our culture that we talked about in the last couple months, and the wars overseas like Ukraine, these things will continue to escalate. In this election year, there will continue to be one emergency after another, one crisis after another. There's going to be more school shootings. There's going to be more spy balloons, right? We just had that. There's going to be billions of dollars more voted for Ukraine. We're having that. There's going to be power outages and phone networks going down. Those kind of things have just happened this last week. Thankfully, they're back up. But what kind of testing are they doing here? What's going on? It really wasn't a solar flare like they were trying to tell us. Because if you notice, at least in some of the news reports I've seen, if a solar flare is going to affect the Earth, when they show a picture of the sun, that white dot that is the solar flare should be pointed right at the camera, right towards Earth, right in the middle of the sun. That would affect Earth if the solar flare was right in the middle of the sun of the pictures that they show. But the pictures that they show had these solar flares off to the side at like the 10 o'clock angle. And there was another one they showed that it was at the 3 o'clock spot, kind of off to the side, halfway between the middle and the edge of the sun. Those flares are leaving perpendicular to the sun's surface, not hitting Earth. So you just got to think about these things. So when they say it was a solar flare causing the phones to go down, that's not true. It's not true. This year, there might even be another virus released. We've heard talk about that. It might be a war on the homeland. Hell, it could even be an alien invasion that they post on TV and social media using AI and holograms and deep fake videos. It won't even be real, but enough people might believe it's real and create chaos and fear in the streets, giving them an excuse to impose martial law. And that could be an excuse to cancel the elections. Yep, possibly. There are people out there saying that. Dave and I had a clip, I think it was, from Tulsi Gabbard, who said that's a possibility. No doubt the demon rats are deploying all evil schemes to keep Trump out of office. It's clear. So are we smart enough to think, and are we smart enough to see the games they're playing? I think most of us are. Are we brave enough to stand up against the tyranny and the lies? Do we have the conviction to be better than we were during the sea crud? And you know what I think the answer is? I think the answer is yes, we do. Many of us who were blindsided the first time have awakened to a new reality. For many, God has put a new boldness in our hearts and an understanding in our minds, so we are better motivated to do what is right. We know better now. Fool me once, Fauci. Shame on you, right? But we won't be fooled again. With that in mind, we already know there's going to be lots of cheating in the next election. This is another example, if they even let it happen. And this is how they're going to cheat. You can see the writing on the wall. Some states are allowing these illegals crossing the border right now to get driver's licenses and IDs. Is that really so they can drive? They probably don't have a car. I think it's probably to vote. Some states, like Florida, have passed laws that require voter rolls to be cleaned up. But most states have not. So there's going to be plenty of dead people voting. These people who moved out of these blue states will still be voting in the state they left. Dems fight tooth and nail to not clean up voter rolls. And even if the courts tell them to clean them up, they usually don't. The media will also continue to spew lies and carry the water for the demon rats and not report errors and suspected cheating. That's what they've always done. They've done this for decades now. In many cities, ballots will be mailed again to everyone. Everyone. So that mail-in ballots will swamp the counting machines over months of time. It's not 1 or 2 days like it should be to vote. You get a couple months to vote in some of these states. This just needs to change. In close elections, ballots will continue to be, quote, found after the polls close days before. Problems with voting machines will continue to happen, but only in conservative counties. These are all the ways they're going to cheat. And it's all going to be the same game they were playing, and it probably will be even worse. There's probably going to be more ways they've figured out how to cheat. So what do we do? For too many of us, the response is, well, then forget it. I'm just not even going to vote. Well, I'll tell you what we should do. We should imagine standing before the pearly gates, and the angel says, God wants to know if you stood up for what was right in that last election. God knows, and you know, they were cheating, but that doesn't mean you get to lay down your responsibility. Tyranny may be coming, but we still have a duty to do what is right. That's what God will hold us accountable for. There is one side, and only one side, that is weaponizing the FBI and the other three-letter agencies against American citizens and Donald Trump. There's only one side who uses the media to continually spread propaganda and lies about, Russia collusion, lost laptops, suppressing Biden crimes. They've been doing this for years, and it's just going to continue. There's only one side fighting for the right to kill children up to the moment of birth. There's only one side who continues to violate the Second Amendment, even though the Supreme Court says we have the right to protect ourselves. There's only one side who thinks a man can have a baby, who thinks a 10-year-old can choose a gender when they would rather have a cookie than $10,000. We talked about that in the previous program. Another side, called the deep state, which includes both Republicans and demon rats, they also are selling out America for their own personal gain. They continue to vote for raises for themselves, while increasing the national debt. We just crossed the $34 trillion mark. It'll never be paid off. They're going to vote for woke agendas. They're going to make enemies out of our friends, and they're going to make friends out of our enemies. CCP. Is that the side we want to be on? I don't think so. I think for the most part, there's only one side doing everything wrong. And that's why we're in the state that we're in America, where everything's fallen apart, where inflation is way higher than it was, where international relationships are falling apart, where money just seems to be disappearing by the trillions of dollars because of all the corruption. Not that Republicans are innocent in all that. I know they're not. But one side is a lot worse than the other. So we have to do what's right. So wherever you stand, for America's sake and the sake of your own integrity, stand there. Stand strong. Don't be afraid to do what is right for the country and for our children and for yourself and your own conscience. Maybe it won't go our way, but maybe if God sees enough of us standing up for what is right, maybe He'll do a miracle to overcome the evil in the land. We are solely dependent on Him, but we still have to act, see? It's a symbiotic relationship. Yes, we can have faith, but we still have to act. Remember that shepherd boy, David, who later became king? He still had to sling the rock, even though he was filled with the righteousness of God as he ran down the hill to stand before his enemy. We must do what is right every day, even when it gets hard. So, go back and replay that young lady's story, the lesson that she learned in that classroom. Let her lesson sink in and reflect on what is right, reflect on what you would do, reflect on what we might be faced with in 2024, because there's going to be some more chaos coming. But this doesn't mean we have to worry, because we're going to take a deep breath, we're going to keep in the faith, we're going to get in the Word, and we're going to remember that we are one day closer. We have a job to do until we don't.
There'll be no war, and there'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day to come for the weak and the strong just the same. All will believe in the power of His name.